The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I was sitting with Margaret in her beautiful home in Jamaica Plain, just as a few of her beloved students were arriving to bring her greetings and gifts. And just after her students arrived, and just before I needed to leave, she leaned into me and whispered that there's wool for you upstairs. Quietly in my ear, she said, there's some amazing Japanese silk there, actually. Go get it. Of course I did. Of course I did. And then after having retrieved that beautiful wool and silk, I quietly latched the front door with the sounds of Margaret's now quiet voice and the voices of her students, like a beautiful song. The voices of her students with her in harmony, keeping her living room warm and alive. Margaret wanted to keep things progressing. Margaret, even then in her last days, and maybe especially then, wanted to know that her work and her research and her passions and her friends and her family and her neighbors and her plants and her dog and her music and her Japanese silk yarns would not only be okay, but would continue on after her. Margaret wanted to keep things going in the world. Margaret told me about how her mother and father were steadfast in their support of her. And she told me that they had said to her, well, you can do anything that you want. And this was really unusual, an unusual gift for a girl growing up in Germany in the 1970s and 80s, right? It was actually quite miraculous, a statement to say to her, you, Margaret, who are interested in computers, go do that. Because that was not something that was a typical career path for girls in that time. And Margaret heard those loving words, and she ran with them, thanks be to God. Amen? She ran with them. One of the days that I sat with Margaret in the hospital, a hospice nurse came in to sort of just prepare her for the things that might be coming next. Elizabeth was with me on that day. And this nurse was amazing. She was kind and smart and really careful with what she talked about. She did her job, and she did it well. But after she gave her presentation about hospice, Margaret sat up, looked directly in her eyes, and said, well, I'm not dying today. She said, I had a paper accepted for an international conference this morning. And that was true. Margaret wasn't done, you know? She wasn't done living, and she wasn't done learning or teaching, and she wasn't done that day or the next day. And to be honest, I can't imagine which day it would have been when Margaret would have said, okay, I've completed all of what I've done. I can't imagine what that day would have been. What is clear to all of us who are gathered here today is that that day came and it was too soon. It was far too soon. We miss you, Margaret. As you may know, one of Margaret's passions, and some of you who have spoken already could speak better about this, but what I understand is one of her passions was to be on the forefront of harnessing artificial intelligence to be for us rather than against us. And I read a couple of her articles in the last couple of weeks, and mostly my feedback is, wow, I don't even know. I mean, I was a piano major who went to seminary, so I have no idea. I don't really understand most of what Margaret did with her scientific work, but what I do understand, what I know, is that Margaret wanted her work and her life to be of benefit to the world. Specifically, I know that she wanted her work and her life to be of benefit to those people, some of the people that the world doesn't listen to, the people who are forgotten. And I know this, of course, because she told me. Because she didn't mince words. And she told me. And she said she wanted me to be sure in this sermon, and by the way, she did pretty much write this sermon. She wanted me to talk about her commitment to social justice. Those were her exact words. She said, Carrie, I want it to be known that I didn't do this because I thought it was an interesting academic fancy. Margaret wanted to use what she had been given and what she had learned for the good of the world. That is what she did. That's who she was. Every single day that she had, all the way to the end. Margaret was not and could not be deterred, and her hope was that we would keep up that spirit of existence as resistance. Amen?
Amen.
What a gift Margaret received from God and from her family to be able to go into the world and ultimately to another country and to chase the dream that she had. And it was not without a cost. She was far away from her loved ones for a very long time. She was far away from home. She was far away from the people and the culture who made her who she was. But she also was not alone, because Margaret grew a whole bonus family here in the United States through friends and neighbors and students and colleagues and choir members and church family, and the list could go on and on. Amen? She grew a whole family. And thank God that she did that, because things were not always easy for her. Things were not always easy. Her illness was a burden that we all wish she did not have to bear. Things were not easy. No one promised us life would be easy. But Margaret knew Scripture. She knew Jesus. And she knew she was loved by God. And she clung to these words, especially, I think, in the last days of her life. More than once when I sat with her, she asked me to read these words to her from the second reading you heard today from Romans. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And again, from that same chapter of the letter to the Romans, who will separate us from the love of God in Christ? Will affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Margaret, from no fault of her own, suffered many physical ailments. And I want to say cancer can just go to hell. Amen? But cancer also did not write Margaret's story. She wrote her story. She wrote it. And she wrote her own story each day to the end of her days. Margaret, we know, was an outstanding researcher and teacher and scientist. She was a singer and a knitter and a gardener and a friend and an amazing sister and daughter and wife and musician and church member. What then are we to say about these things today? What then are we to say? One day in the hospital, I held Margaret's hand and she whispered to me, "You know, we think it's all about achievements, gathering achievements and money, and then we learn one day it's all about the people." You might think that I made that up, but if you know Margaret, you know I didn't. That's what she said. One day, you realize it's about the people around you. Margaret lived well, and she loved well, and she taught well, and she sang really well, and she researched well, and she gardened well. And it would be okay if she had done all of those things and had not done them well. And if Margaret had accomplished none of those things, that would also be okay. And I think she knew that. I do think she knew that. She knew that the one who created us, the one who patterned our chromosomes and imagined our inner workings and worked clay and warmed hands and made people, that one also formed Margaret, a beloved scientist of God, and said, "Look at that. Look at that. Look at that spectacular human I made. Look at this. This Margaret is good. This Margaret is good." And if God is for us, who could possibly be against us? I treasure the wool that Margaret gifted me because it adds a little bit of to my stash, and I probably didn't need that. But it also reminds me, that wool reminds me that I still have more to do. I still have more to do. It reminds me that we all have more to do in this world. Our dear sister Margaret was not quite done. If only we had a few more days or years with her. But also, when are we ever quite done with this world? So I invite you to pick up that piece of wool, or take one of the plants that are in the back that she grew, or take a seed, or take one of those ideas that she implanted in you, dear students, and go forth this day and the next day and the next and the next with Margaret's unending curiosity walking beside you, and with the fullness of God's unending creativity guiding you. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? I'm going to end with a few words that Margaret used to sign off an email with Christian, our office administrator. And I think what he told me is it's the last email that he received from her. And she said, "God is with us at night and in the morning and am jeden neuen Tag, in every new day." Amen.